Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 52, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For Monday, October 8th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist with Miles and Jack O'B. We check in with Lloyd Watch and the Mangazi.
Ooh.
Hey! Sublime. That is courtesy of James Rainey on Twitter, Marine Against Hate. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Well, not, allow me to one-up your Sublime with, hey now, you're a Zeit star, get your Miles on, go Gray. Hey now, you're O'Brien star, get your Jack on, get paid.
Hey.
Now, all that glitters actually is gold. I don't know if you know that, but only shooting stars break the mold. Thank you to Jake Rumsky at J Rumsky for that one.
I didn't recognize that you didn't say the name of the band afterwards. So.
No, you know, some people don't know that song, I realize.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not an obscure song. Yeah.
An obscure hit.
Deep cut. Very
well,
esoteric.
We are thrilled to be joined by a comedian, a writer, podcast host of You're Making It Worse, and Golden Girls, the podcast, and somebody who Oprah has said his name. We're thrilled to be joined by H. Alan Scott.
Yes, hi.
That is the coolest thing I think we've ever said about somebody.
Really? Well, that they're a podcaster?
That they're a podcaster.
I was more into the Oprah thing. Your name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How'd that happen? How'd that go down?
A couple years ago, I was doing jokes in New York about Shirley MacLaine and a Harpo. Yeah, okay. I know.
I love it already.
If you couldn't tell, this is a gay homosexual moment. And I got a Harpo producer, like, this is when it was still on the air, saw my set. And then, like, a year later, Shirley MacLaine was coming on the 25th season, the final season of The Oprah Show, to promote some book. And they thought of me, and they wanted to fly me out to, like, be a part of it, and they changed everything in the episode because then Elizabeth Taylor was dying that week, so they didn't want to like be too funny, so they just had me ask Shirley MacLaine a question, but then they let me open for the show for Oprah.
Oh, wow.
Like for the audience.
Like you're the warm-up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally my demo, like gay men and middle-aged women.
Right.
Perfect. And I was doing all these jokes, and I got them saying my name, and so when I stood up to say my line, the whole audience went, H. Uh-huh. And then Shirley MacLaine said, what's H? And then I said, H. Allen Scott. And then Oprah said, H. Allen Scott.
H. Ooh. Allen so Scott.
Oprah said my name.
Do you have that just a sound bite? You
yes,
just
I do.
Loop? Okay,
yes, I
cool.
Do.
Yeah. I would do that too.
But I can't. I uploaded it once and I got in a lot of trouble. So I can't do that.
Yeah, don't fuck with Harpo.
Do not fuck with Harpo.
Oprah's voice is powerful and magical.
Yeah.
You cannot just use it to your
and
own
And every
devices.
Talk show I've ever been on, Oprah's been involved in.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I did Rachel Ray once, and Oprah produced that. And then last year, I did Ellen's, like, coming out anniversary, and they had, like, a montage of people talking about their own coming out stories and how Ellen impacted them. And Oprah was on that episode that I was
amazing.
On. Oprah's been in every
Damn, what's next that. For you?
I don't know. Oprah, hopefully.
Is I know.
Most
produce
people
something.
Don't realize that Oprah is the executive producer of the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's amazing.
She's, like, one of the more silent showrunners. But, you know, shout out to you, Oprah.
Only thing she's silent about.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we're going to tell our listeners what we'll be talking about today. There is a new report out that Russian bots have been in the culture wars, not just on the Trump and political side, but on The Last Jedi. We'll get into it, but The Last Jedi has been a battleground for Russian bots for a long time. Ireland just doesn't know what to do with itself because they just got their first Krispy Kreme store.
That's fair.
We're going to talk A Star Is Born. We are currently, Miles and I are sharing the studio with 50% of the people in the studio have seen A Star Is Born. So we're going to ask you guys for
Please
thoughts.
No spoilers. I want to know if she was actually born.
We're going to look at just last week in the Kavanaugh hearing, just in summation. It was a weird week. We're going to talk about restaurants. Hooters is dying slowly. But first, H. Allen, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, God. It usually involves either the word naked or like a misspelled word.
Okay.
That's often, like, oftentimes, because, you know, I want to see everybody naked.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I see someone, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they have, like, a naked picture out there. I'll just put naked behind their name. And it's really fun to do it with, like, old people, like
Chuck
like
Grassley.
Historical. That hasn't come up yet. I'll look for that. But yeah, I put naked a lot. And then also just a shit ton of misspelled words. I once looked at my search history and it was just like the saddest words ever. Like, I should know how to spell like access.
Right.
And yet I put that in there. But see, you're thinking of it too. So it's not.
Two C's, two S's?
Yeah. See, that's
okay,
but it's hard. It's
but like, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Do you have words that you always fuck up in your head? Like even to this day, you're like,
yeah.
This is, there's like, there's.
Coach. When I remember in, third or fourth grade, it was Miss Stevens. I misspelled the word couch as coach, and the whole class made fun of me. And
oh,
so
really?
To this day, those two words are such
it
a trigger
got, like,
for me.
Frozen in your mind as like
a
moment of trauma.
I will always be like, it's coach, couch, you.
I always fuck up spelling separate.
Oh, separate.
I always do ER because I think in the back of my head, I think of offspring and think you got to keep them separated.
Separated. Really straight.
Rather than separate, huh?
You guys are really straight.
Yeah, I'm just from the valley, though. You know, offspring was like the soundtrack.
Offspring, bro.
You know, offspring. You don't fuck with offspring?
I don't know anything about offspring.
Yeah, that's like one word I always fuck up. Jack, you're a perfect speller.
No, I'm a terrible speller.
Oh,
and
really?
You know this, Miles. We put the doc together. We put the doc together like on Google Docs.
Yeah,
Miles
and I
are on it, and I will just write something down, knowing I'm misspelling the word, and then just see the Miles Gray cursor hovering over the misspelled word, and I'm like, dude, okay, I'll get to it. Like,
that's a lot of stress.
I know.
I'm just helping you. It's more for my own shit.
I'm like, don't look at me.
It's not a judgment thing. It's
like
it's
like
a mess.
That too,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Where, like, I'll write the word however I think it's spelled, and then I'll come back to it.
For sure. Yeah.
But like, I don't want someone looking over my shoulder.
Yeah. Wait, right. But is there a word specific? Like, you know, separate for me is one. Couch, clearly, for H. Allen. Yeah.
It's a lot of them.
Couch or coach.
I can't think of any in particular. They're,
Jack, spell 10.
Miles.
D.
1-0, okay? H. Allen. What is something that's overrated?
Overrated. I mean, live concerts, live music. I hate live music.
Wow.
You mentioned this. What do you mean you hate?
I just hate the whole experience of live music. I think it's a waste of time. I think you can get the perfect experience with your earphones, walking around in a beautiful setting, or at home. You know, I just think live concerts are the biggest waste of time.
Now, if you could alter what a live concert was like, would you be more inclined to go? Like, if it was just you and three people,
I don't want to be around thousands of people.
So less people. What if it was an intimate show?
Yeah,
you know, that's even weird. Have you ever had someone sing for you in a small setting alone?
Oh my god, yo, it's awkward. Hate that shit.
It's boring.
And I can't look them in the eye.
We do that every day.
Like, I know that's right, why, and
at
I
the
never
of this show.
Yeah, you yeah can't but we look never. In the
we
eye.
Only look down though, Jack. You know right. how we have our shame.
I just
when
think
we
concerts are bullshit. Like, I mean, just the people, the band playing, the band. I mean, I get the whole like, I understand as a stand up the need for like an audience, but
sure.
even then, half the time, I don't want the fucking audience there. Like,
right.
I would love if people were just live streaming it and just watching me talk in my living room or something.
Right, right, right.
But I am also very much an antisocial person. Like, I'm a talkative social person, but I'm antisocial
you're like
in that, like,
shut in kind of.
I don't want to be doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite musical act or performer?
Oh, that's hard. I guess Robin.
We would never find you at a Robin show.
Well, I went to a Robin concert when she first sort of, like, the last album was really big, uh-huh. and it was at Radio City. I went with Ellie Glazer, past mm-hmm. guest on this podcast, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and his sister Alana, and we were there in the like up the balcony at Radio City, and it was one of the coolest moments in that, like, they built like stairs from the stage up to the first mezzanine.
Oh.
And she ran up in those platform shoes and like danced for the mezzanine up there.
Okay.
Now that was cool.
See?
That
okay.
was really cool.
Okay.
But I could have done without everybody else.
Right.
And I could have done without the noise. I don't like noise. I don't like sudden loud noises. I don't like dumb young people. I don't like a lot of white people. I'm white. I don't like a lot of white people.
You'd like to be the only white person in a room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and even in my relationship, I mean, he's Mexican. I in many situations, I am the only white person.
Yes,
and
right.
that is good.
That is. Yeah.
I like her. Yeah. It's just like, can't stand the fucking people. Love some people's music.
I will show myself out. Robin's performance of Dancing on My Own is, I think, I still hold. Controversial statement, the greatest SNL live performance
ever.
Oh,
it's pretty great.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, pretty great.
I always say it was Puff Daddy, Come With Me, when the Godzilla soundtrack came out in 1997. Oh my God.
Close your eyes.
No surprise. Come With Me.
Strengthen up your straight credentials even more.
Hell
huh?
yeah, dude.
Robin, that was from Godzilla?
Fucking Godzilla.
That was from the Godzilla
sick.
Soundtrack.
Puff Daddy sick. Like, Led Zeppelin sick.
I think like what's that band, that Armageddon song, Aerosmith?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I want to close
don't
my eyes.
Wanna
Wait, no, I
thing.
Don't close your eyes.
Yeah.
I literally just sang, I want to close my eyes. That's probably my reaction to the live show. Right, right. I want to close my eyes and go home.
And I want to miss everything.
What is something you think is underrated?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think politics, because I find like in the current climate we're in, a lot of people are using sort of like, of course, they're disgusted by the politics and the way it is right now, which I think is, you know, people are okay with feeling that. But I also think they're taking their passion too far in dictating how they're approaching politics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing like global PTSD.
Okay.
And it's like, you sit down, think with a little bit of nuance about what's going on. Look at history. Like, let's calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fall under underrated?
Yeah. Can you give a specific example of like somebody who is taking their response to politics in a weird direction?
Yeah. Well, the past guest, Ellie Glazer. No, he's not. He's not. He's a great person. He'll be the first to say he's not like politically aware all the time, and he's not as invested in the news as I am. And he sometimes, you know, just he's like, it's insane. It's crazy what's going on. This has never happened before. I don't understand what's going on.
Right,
and it's
right,
like
right.
slavery. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time in this country where the country
right.
was torn. Like, we've had periods in our history where there were really, really scary things going on. And yeah, people thought it was insane. But
mm-hmm.
like, we used democratic methods and sometimes war to get beyond whatever problem there was at the time. Like, calm the fuck down. Do you really think Abraham Lincoln every single day in the White House was like, this is insane? What's
right.
going on? No, it's like,
I mean, when you look at how rapidly he aged, I believe that maybe
well, yeah,
he was.
True. Maybe he was, but I think that was mostly his wife.
Yeah,
she was insane too.
Yeah, and that lays waste to the theory that Kanye West posited that he may have been black.
Right. Yeah.
What that Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh,
a lot of people think that.
Oh, they also think he might have been gay.
Right.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. He was not gay.
Not with that style.
Yeah.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false?
Yeah, that concerts are good. No.
just stick on that.
My biggest myth is that, like, a lot of times I find, and this isn't the whole gay straight thing, because I was thinking about it. I had a different one, but I'm going to go with what I just said, because you guys are so straight.
Yes.
I find straight dudes, in the current climate we're in about sort of like acceptance and like different sexualities and people coming out as pansexual and gender non-binary and all everything, that straight dudes of all classes, you know, white, black, Hispanic, everything, they are going out of their way to be like very accepting of everybody and being like liberal and talking about how like straight dudes just say they're queer, or that they're trying to co-opt a narrative, I think, in a way that is ridiculous, when it's like, it's okay for you just to be straight and you don't have to treat me or women or anybody in like a different way just because you feel guilty or whatever. It's like, it's a myth. You can actually just be a straight dude, and that's okay. Just be a straight dude that isn't like a dickhead and that's accepting and doesn't treat other people differently just because they're different from you. Because the world is not all straight dudes.
Right.
So like, chill the fuck out and don't think you have to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race with me just because I'm gay. Like, or talk about random shit. Like, I also like to, I mean, I don't understand the Godzilla reference you were talking about earlier, but I understand, you know, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
because when I was a kid, I used to like put my Bette Midler CDs in Led Zeppelin covers so that people wouldn't know I was gay.
Oh.
And so I know Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know the album covers for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's funny. It's the same thing like too, being black, like when people are like, yeah, man, like I fuck with this rap album or something. Like,
I would have voted for Obama a third time.
Yeah, like that kind of shit. Yeah, the overcompensating. I'm like, yo, it's chill. My interests aren't limited to hip hop, basketball, and like drug references or whatever. Like, I fuck with politics. We can talk about video game, whatever, anything. But yeah, I
talk about Jack in the Box, which is an incredible establishment.
You've met straight men who are like putting on an air that they might be more gender
fluid. Oh yeah, there's so many dudes right now.
Oh, dude, you know, like one time I kissed a guy.
Not even that. Not even that. There are so many because they've never had any same sex interaction in a sexual capacity whatsoever. Right. And I applaud them having the openness to be able to talk about the possibility of sort of, you know, the fluidity of sexuality.
Gotcha.
Like, that's good. But you don't have – and there, and it happens in mainly urban areas. A lot of times if I'll do a college show or something, like young straight men will come out to me and be like, yeah, I'm queer and I identify as queer because I don't think that sexuality needs a label. And it's like – have you touched a dick?
Right.
Have you sucked a dick?
You into dick?
Are you into dick? Have you took a dick? If you haven't answered any of those questions, I don't feel like you can call yourself queer.
Right.
Gotcha.
That might be controversial.
Right. But it's
probably
but I guess
is,
from the
but
from the perspective you're saying is you it comes off to you as someone overcompensating.
It's disingenuous.
For some kind of,
yes.
Right, yeah.
It's like
disingenuous.
It's,
right.
You don't have to. I mean, it's okay for you to think that, but like you understand that like I've actually taken a dick.
Right.
And so like I can say these things and I don't need you to say these things to make me like you any better.
Right.
Or to accept you or to whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the same thing I think, yeah, because we live in an era where there are people who feel straight white man is like a slur.
Yeah.
So then they're having to overcome that.
It's
and
the
that's
biggest insult
like,
there is.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like
it's
a Fox News story?
Yeah, it's very violent. Man.
Well, I also have like straight friends who, you know, they'll treat gay male friends differently than they will straight male friends.
Right.
In terms of just like how they communicate by text and stuff, like the jokes they say and the things. And like, it's shitty because it's like, I like a dumb dick joke just as much as the next dude.
Right.
I like a stupid joke just as much as the next dude.
Right.
You can include me in this just because I'm your one gay friend doesn't mean I have to be excluded from that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Hell yeah. All right. Let's talk about other cultural things. The culture war in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a story that was sort of in my peripheral vision, the whole like controversy over The Last Jedi that was taking place like as that movie came out. And I thought I wasn't like a huge fan of it, but the response online seemed to be just all out war from men's rights activists. And it seemed like it was the most controversial movie that's ever been released. And somebody did a study where they looked at the tweets that the people who quote at Rian Johnson, the director, and expressing dissatisfaction. And more than half of them were bots, like troll sock puppets or political activists.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian bots were getting involved and Russian activists. And, you know, so there's covert culture war shit going on in places that you would think are too stupid for that sort of thing.
Right.
I think it kind of makes sense.
It does. Yeah. It just seems like such a waste of their resources, but I guess it's not. Because
I guess when the end game is to cause as much chaos, and like we're a country where all of our deficiencies are so transparent, like whether it's like misogyny, white supremacy, and all these other issues, that it's like, oh yeah, we'll hop in on the NFL thing, because that was another thing too, that there was Russian activity around the like kneeling.
I don't think it really has anything to do with the actual thing they're hopping on. I think it has everything to do with these people who are doing this are like hackers. They're like computer experts, and they understand the internet and how the internet works in a way that they're paid to know and to understand. And these are trending things. People talking about the Jedi shit becomes a trending thing on Twitter. So, of course, then Russian bots are going to do it to like create havoc and create all these articles and these clicks and all these things.
But how come they're not jumping in on the Mayo Chup debate? You know, I mean, that was trending. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess because it has to be some sort of societal,
political. It has to be some sort of cultural war thing that
they're
they
like,
can
we can only go so far.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, we're not that touching shit.
We're not going to talk about that.
That's a third rail. But yeah, and then you also see this too with Kavanaugh's nomination also, that in just the last 48 hours, they were saying there was an uptick in like accounts they identified as being Russian troll accounts or whatever, using like more confirmed Kavanaugh hashtags and things like that. So, you know, they do whatever they can. And like RT and Sputnik also like went all out to promote the boy Brett as much as possible. So
it's the whole Kavanaugh thing. Ugh.
And they're not creating the you know, Kavanaugh backlash or the Last Jedi backlash. They're just amplifying it.
Yeah, they're taking it to another. And then the sad thing is that media outlets, especially like a lot of these blogs and these smaller websites, will see the activity, and because of SEO and because they want to get those clicks and the traction, they'll pick these things up and then write articles about it, and it just pushes it even farther.
Right.
It's like, we're pushing this fake shit that Russians are pushing up just to create more drama.
Yeah, exactly. Just get the message loud enough that, you know, CNN notices on their like, what's trending today? Anyways, another thing that's trending today is we're just as bad as CNN. So Ireland just got Krispy Kremes. I think this is bad for my brethren because they do not know how to act. There is a video of...
They don't know how to act.
They like, don't know
to be how... fair, this is how everyone acts when a Krispy Kreme opens up when you never had it.
So there's one open in a town in Ireland, and there's video of this parking lot where it looks like... Miles, you were saying it looks like a ferry.
Like if you've ever taken a ferry that takes cars or whatever, and
like in The Ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but just that stack of cars waiting to just get on a gigantic like transport ferry. Uh-huh. It looked like that kind of congestion and also just honking and shit.
And it's at midnight. Yeah. They're all honking at each other. They're like, I fucking need it now.
Krispy Kremes, they have those signs in like the Midwest. I don't know if they still do, but I'm from Missouri, and whenever they would have fresh donuts, they would always put the blinking sign, fresh, hot, now.
Yeah.
And you would know to go there for that.
Man, because I remember, you know, Krispy Kreme only came to L.A. like I think in the late 90s or 2000. And the first one opened like in Van Nuys. And I remember it was an event.
Yeah.
Like every news.
They're not that good.
I know. Because I just got the good glazed donut. That's like their one thing. And it's not like... It's great. It's a great donut.
It's a donut.
But it's, you know, how transformative can a donut be? But again, I'm speaking for myself.
The Simpsons donut at Universal Studios. Ooh.
Or a 7-Eleven when they were doing a 7-Eleven for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I think they still have it at 7-Eleven, too.
I think they do, yeah.
And I always buy it.
Is it glazed plus iced or just iced?
What do you mean?
Just iced. No, it just has the glaze.
The pink. Oh,
okay. Or the pink stuff. But they have other types. Me and my boyfriend literally got season passes to Universal Studios almost primarily for the donuts.
For that donut.
Just to go to the Simpsons.
The donuts and the Harry Potter shit.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Well, because you buy a day, you get a year, and then you're like,
exactly.
Well, fuck it. It's only like $20 more than the
ticket. We go back all the time just for the donuts.
I did the same thing with Her Majesty, my girlfriend, and we went first just to go to the Harry Potter thing, and then we ended up being like, I think the Whoville Christmas thing opened up. Let's just pop in for 20 minutes. Like we just did. We came in, I'm like,
better
I'm going to get
that
churro.
Out.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it is an interesting way, though, like to engage with the
as
theme
a local.
Park. Yeah, and just be like, I'm going there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's it.
You just can take the subway there.
Little in and out.
You know what I mean? Go to Moe's, get a Flaming Moe.
Yep.
Oh. You know what I mean? Which is just dry ice and a fucking orange soda. But
so good.
So I've never had a fresh Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh, ever?
Yeah, never. I view it the same way I view heroin, that like I just have never tried it because I don't think I'd deal well with it. I think I'd like it too much.
Well, you also seem like you're wearing athleisure right now.
I know. I rarely wear athleisure, but I do.
That probably is why.
Yeah.
That probably is why.
I mean, the reason the fresh one's good is because it's warm and the glaze hasn't fully like turned rock hard around it.
Yeah.
And it's an experience.
My mom made a bread pudding with Krispy Kremes once.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
It was like, holy, I mean, we're an obese family, so.
I love that shit.
Yeah,
though.
But my mom's a baker, and she did that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That sounds incredible.
Krispy Kreme, yeah. Bread.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
Talk
this
about
weekend.
Death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and as I said up top, our studio is currently comprised of 50% of people who have seen A Star Is Born. Super producer Anna Hosnier is joining us. H. Allen, you saw it a while ago, right?
Yeah, well, not that, like a week ago.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's an eternity in A Star Is Born time.
True.
So let's hear it. What'd you guys think?
Well, I'm going to do the entire review in Bradley Cooper. Okay, I can't do it.
Does he do a voice?
He does.
He does a voice.
Yeah.
Like an Adam Sandler voice?
I just wanted to see you smile.
I just wanted to take another look at you.
You kind of sounded like Little Nicky.
You do sound like Little Nicky.
Bradley Cooper is such a joke.
Is he?
Literally, he is, like I said to you guys before, but I'll say it again. He's that straight dude, I do believe he's straight, that straight dude who like was popular in musical theater in high school, and he loved the attention he got from all the gay dudes who, because he was the one straight dude,
right.
And he still thinks he's that popular. Right. He's that guy.
Oh,
right.
Whoa.
Well,
so he's
sure.
Riding that wave.
He's riding that wave.
To the end.
Oh, hate
yeah.
Him.
Wait, but what about the movie?
His voice, okay, so I believe he's doing Sam Elliott's voice, who plays his brother in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a weird thing where you're like, okay, there's already two
his
of you in the
siblings brother. Can have different voices.
They can also be 30 years apart?
How yes, far apart it's complicated.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's meant to be playing older.
Oh, Bradley Cooper?
I think so.
Okay.
Bradley's, did they say his age?
I don't remember. I feel like Lady Gaga's like 30 and Bradley's like late 40s.
Yeah.
There's a vibe there.
And his brother's 80?
Which is the original, too. Yes. I mean, the original, or not the original, but the Barbra Streisand one is like that as well.
Yeah.
Where she's much younger than Kris Kristofferson, even though I don't think she was.
Oh, interesting.
No,
yeah.
Barbra.
Yeah.
How is Lady Gaga?
I think she's great. Yeah. Okay. I think, I mean, like, basically, it's the Lady Gaga show, and Bradley Cooper is unfortunately a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, she shines. She's amazing. She's a real talent, whereas Bradley Cooper, like, midway through the film, he's interesting in the beginning. I think the beginning part is really interesting. But then midway through the film, it becomes this, like, weird moment of Bradley Cooper. Ugh.
Right.
You know?
It's
that's an appropriate
was his performance
review.
Good if you could divorce yourself from the fact that you think he's whack?
No,
and
I
shit.
Don't think he was good. I think,
oh, so
I
also
think,
you don't like his performance either.
I think it's like that weird voice, and he's trying to do this thing come off in a certain way when it's like, just be fucking Bradley Cooper, dude.
Right.
Like, you don't need to do any of
well,
this.
Well, from what we know, he's Bradley Cooper talking like Sam Elliott pretending to be Eddie Vedder.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From all
the
interviews that we've heard from, like, where he was pulling from.
I think his performance was fine, but Lady Gaga stole the show.
Yeah.
And I think they do a really good job of portraying how the music industry will completely, like, wash your life away and make you a different person. Like, that portrayal is really good. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, and she's a great person to, like, do that.
Yeah, because it is, like, a weird thing because she used to play the piano and got, like, no fame. Like, there's all these videos of her online, like, trying to be herself.
Tori Amos thing?
In the scene from the trailer, which is the only reason I'm going to go see it.
Oh.
Yeah, that part. That part.
Yeah.
I can't even do that. How was that when you saw it? Did that, was it any different, or was the film like, just like, oh, okay, that happened?
The build up to that moment, like, I don't think there was not a single thought in my head. There was nothing, like, there was no one around me.
Yeah.
Like, I was completely just on the screen. And then actually this pulled me out because a guy got up to go to the bathroom right before that scene was happening and my blood boiled.
Yeah, like,
I was
wrong
like,
with you?
Are you fucking out of your mind?
Do you not know the impact of this moment?
Yeah,
piss yourself.
Yeah, I was like going to scream at him.
I did that during Dreamgirls.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, I actually
just pissed
myself.
In the seat?
I pissed myself a little bit during the show because I was so like ready and I had to wait for the scene. I was just like, oh my God. And then I felt it coming that I literally like, I got the scene I wanted, and it started to come, and I ran.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have done the same for that moment in Star is Born. And so it was beautiful.
So I guess in the end, will you recommend people to see it?
Oh, you have to see it.
You have to see
this.
It's like,
Alan, I felt like it was almost Bradley Cooper's whackness was too much to overcome.
Bradley Cooper is whack, but it's like the Super Bowl halftime show. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't like Lady Gaga, she's such a spectacle that you have to see it. You have to see her. She's one of those, and those type of performers don't come along that often, like where you just got to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just also go to see what Bradley's up to.
It's a fun shit show to watch shit on Bradley. Like, I do love hate watching shit a lot. So I would see it just to hate on Bradley.
A part of me was like, is Bradley Cooper going to become an alcoholic after this film? I don't know why. I was like, I don't know. Maybe
he would probably do it as like a method thing.
Right.
Yeah, people keep talking about his alcoholism. Is it like that movie Flight where you think it's going to be about somebody doing an amazing thing with a plane and then it's just a gritty, like,
sad
drama depiction of alcoholism?
His side of the story is, that's kind of exactly what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I'm waiting for Bradley Cooper to be like, my next role I'm playing Caitlyn Jenner.
And he's going to dive in so deep to it.
Self-directed.
Yes,
self-directed.
I directed it on my iPhone.
Yes, hi, Rec. Go see it. Cry.
Yes, you will cry a lot. But Lady Gaga will make you cry.
I mean, every 5 minutes.
Brad directed it, so...
Big Brad.
And he did a good enough job that made you cry.
Dave Chappelle's in it for 5 minutes, makes one joke.
I also don't think Bradley actually directed it.
Oh, really?
I think he's one of those actor-directors.
Oh, ghost directing?
Like, yeah, that had like a lot of like assistant directors with him actually like shape. Because, I mean, the production has like legit producers on it.
Right.
So I have a feeling this dude was coddled to the point of like, maybe you should... make the camera go like this. Just an idea.
Right.
It was like, good.
I'm drunk.
The cinematography is really well done.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Like when they
and
have
the access they had in the film to all these venues and shit.
So when they're actually, when he's like performing, that's actually probably one of the greatest parts of the film is when they're both performing, like you feel like you're like on their shoulder watching.
It was like
them
at Coachella, right?
Yeah. It was like Coachella. I think I felt for 1 second that they were at the Hollywood Bowl, but I don't know. I couldn't really tell. Like it's really cool. That I felt like aesthetically was done really well. Like you felt like you were there and you were like breathing, like you were the Ruxt. Honestly, I was the star that was born.
Did you ever see The Rose?
Star was born the Rose? In your
I have not.
Heart.
That is one of the best concert films.
Wait, like, which one?
The Bette Midler's The Rose. It was before she like became sort of the Bette Midler we know today. Mm-hmm. When it was like a, like she was basically playing Janis Joplin. And it like, it, the concert footage in it, Mark Rydell directed it. The concert footage in it is like incredible. It's so good.
I have a good story about Bette Midler. My former boss was Sarah Jessica Parker's stand-in for many years. They look exactly the same. And she was the stand-in on Hocus Pocus. And Bette Midler, anytime her husband, who was like on set, spoke to any woman, Bette Midler would make that woman's life hell. Like she'd just be like, "You bitch." And then apparently when she turned around to be like, "I put a spell on you," she turned and looked exactly at my former boss, pointed directly at her and said, "I put a spell on you." And the boss was like, "Okay, yeah."
That's
because she like saw her like very casually like speaking to her husband, I guess just in passing.
And then her hair fell out.
Yeah,
after
and now, yeah, and her career was over.
Like The Craft.
And she was only allowed to just be my boss.
Huh. Of what?
She ran the LA Jewish Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Right? I thought at that point you're like, I was an assistant.
I'm working on a film that's going to be in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought her role was so big as Sarah Jessica Parker standing that she too needed an assistant or something. And here's my assistant.
Yeah, I'm the assistant to the assistant to the assistant to the of Sarah Jessica Parker stand-in.
Well, it seems like you have to see this movie if you want to know what other people are going to be thinking and talking about for the next couple months.
Or just see Lady Gaga like probably get an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
Also, The Shallow is available on iTunes.
Yeah.
$1.29. Purchase that shit. Sing it all day, every day. Until
streaming. It's streaming as well.
Yeah.
You can
Spotify
it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Blake Lively movie about the shark.
That's The Shallows.
How dare you bring that up?
What did you say? I remember that.
The Shallow is the name of the song.
Use it on your Instagram. You know, when you go live.
Yeah.
Connect with your Spotify so you can flex on your IG posts.
Dang.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for that glimpse into. And super producer Anna Hosnier will be doing that for the rest of this episode. Yeah. So briefly, we just wanted to sit back and reflect on the week that was of the Kavanaugh hearing. What a non-roller coaster ride it was. It was just, there was an FBI investigation that revealed nothing. And
didn't even talk to half the people making accusations.
It was a quote-unquote investigation. It was a background check. And I think an that's FBI another misnomer, check. Too, that people use that even clouds our perception of what happened. The Republicans said, talk to these four people, and that's fucking it.
Right.
And you can only talk about these things.
So they talked to a total of 10, but failed to interview people who said that they were contacting the FBI with evidence that he was lying under oath. People who, one woman who went to a house party with Renata from the Renata Alumnia Club.
Alumnius or whatever the made up word that was.
And was told by another woman there not to go upstairs where the bedrooms are and where Brett was hanging out because it could be dangerous. People who said that like boofing and Devil's Triangle were most certainly sexual terms, and people who drank with him and said he was like known to black out all the time. Like all these things that would prove that he lied under oath, they just kind of didn't even touch on. Which, again, these all seem like, okay, what are we prosecuting a guy's high school behavior? But they're important when it comes to what he was like as a teenager, and that's what this entire issue is about.
And also what he's like as a person. I mean, we thought Bill Cosby was a nice dude for years until all that shit happened. So, like, it's like your personal life in a lifetime appointment in a situation like this does matter. And Republican Neil Gorsuch was able to get through, and no woman came out saying that he assaulted her.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, it's not like this is a partisan thing. This is literally, like, what type of temperament do you have to be a judge? And are you capable of doing it? And is there something that possibly could impact your decisions or your job?
Right. Yeah. Like if you were a juror on a case that involved Republicans and Democrats, like you could get out of jury duty by like telling people that what happened to Brett Kavanaugh happened to you, or like acting right. like Brett Kavanaugh, just like acting like you had like a blood oath sworn against one side, mm-hmm. which yeah. it seemed like he came out. But anyways, the Republicans kind of played it better, or at least Republican voters and Republican senators, kind of the way the story ended up playing out is the Democrats went all in on this FBI investigation. And then when Flake said, yes, let's do an FBI investigation, the Democrats were like, good, okay, we got what we wanted. But it was like they didn't get anything. There was they failed to take into account that saying that they were going to do an FBI investigation.
They got some papers that said FBI investigation. Right. And they said, you have 60 yeah. minutes to read these. There's one copy. Now fuck off. Okay, can we vote?
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, they steamrolled it through like we thought they would. And I don't think – I know for a moment the week before when Jeff Flake came out and was like, look – I'll vote to get him out of committee, but we have to have an investigation or I'm going to be a no. There was for a moment you're like, oh, maybe. But then you realize that Chuck Grassley and Mitch McConnell, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that nothing resembling the truth will emerge around this person's nomination. Yeah. So.
Right. I mean, it still comes down to the fact that there is somebody who literally everybody who witnessed her testimony claims was credible, except for, well, Trump at the time said that she was credible, but then after a week of watching Fox News decided to attack her publicly, and then Lindsey Graham. Those are the only two people who seemed to question her credibility. She said with 100% certainty that she was sexually assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh.
Which, yeah. I mean, this is her field of study, like victims right, yeah. of sexual assault.
Psychologists.
People know that, you know, yeah, details are murky in the surrounding area of a sexual assault, but certain details of the actual sexual assault are part of what triggers the person in the future to remember yeah, those details. Sure. It's part of, you remember the laugh, which she talks about. Those type of things then haunt you for years. Even I mean, I had cancer a couple of years ago, and there was at my chemo center, there was this orange soap, this Dial orange soap uh-huh. that I never thought about it. I had to wash my hands all the fucking time, and I never right. thought about it at the time. But now I can't even beat the smell of that orange soap. Oh, is yeah. like so triggering for me right. because it sends me into a depression. And it's true. These things, and that's nothing compared to what she suffered. Right. I mean, it's yeah.
And yeah. Just the way they treated that, and not even acknowledging that that's a you know it, the whole thing was just very. It was a terrible situation. And then we get to finding out, you know, Lisa Murkowski voted no. So we're like, oh, okay, that changes the math a little bit, which put more pressure on Susan Collins and Joe Manchin. I don't know why Joe Manchin voted yes, considering he's up in his own race in West Virginia. But again, you know, red state Democrats, we get it. And
also,
then Susan
it could
gets.
Shift. I mean, 1992 is a great example of how quickly political tides could shift mm-hmm. before an election, just 6 weeks before an election. Right. I mean, so Manchin could have been in trouble with his vote. Sure. I do think it could have shifted.
Sure, sure. And I think, and again, I think that my beef is probably more so with the DNC who, yeah. you know, they'll still back Democrats like this who are going to completely just blow up the Senate math like this. But then, yeah, so it all came down to Collins and, you know, everyone was so invested and there was high drama and what is she going to say? She took the Senate floor and just did a very long-winded version of like, well, let's see. He's got a good record. He convinced me that, you know, he's not going to blow up same-sex marriage or Roe v. Wade. And the FBI investigation showed there's really no corroborating evidence. So I'm going to have to believe our man Brett. And it's going to be a yes for me, yeah. dog.
It's such a shitty thing because it's like we vote on presidents and we take the full picture into consideration. You know what I mean? You
right.
take, I mean, for better or worse, we as voters and people vote on the fact of, do we like this person? Do we trust this person? Do they have the, of course, record that they should be elected president? And like, we decide decisions on that. And the Supreme Court is, I think, a very similar thing. If you have doubt in somebody, if there's doubt about somebody's temperament, about somebody's background, about someone's resume, mm-hmm. you shouldn't vote for that person.
Yeah.
And like, there was no doubt in Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch has a great record. And Kavanaugh has a great judicial record.
Right.
He has, for the 12 years of the judicial record, is great. There's doubt in some of his Bush years, but like, he has a good judicial record. But that doesn't mean that there can't be doubt about who the person is that you're appointing right. to the Supreme Court for a lifetime.
Yeah. Right. At the very least, it should be like, if there's doubt, that should be disqualified. It's like a surgeon, right? Like, yeah. If you're about to get surgery and the doctor has a bunch of Cheeto dust all over his face and finger, and he's like,
yeah.
Yeah, what are we doing with you today?
Unless it's the super hot one.
Yeah, unless it's super hot one, then, yeah, by all means, gets the Cheeto dust all over me.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you know, at that point, you'd be like, oh, shit, I don't know about this doctor.
Yeah.
And you would be, you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to put my life in this person's hands. Yeah. And the same thing should be for someone who can shape the legal future of this country for years ahead.
Yeah.
If you have any doubt, that's just like, come on. Like, you want people who you're going to feel confident that they're going to be impartial and not emotional, and at the very least, not some kind of sex crim.
And the bullshit accusations of her saying that, I believe that he'll uphold same-sex marriage and Roe v. Wade and all these things. When history shows us that, like, Supreme Court justices, when appointed to the Supreme Court, when they actually get on the seat, change over time, shift their judicial sort of record over time. Mm-hmm. Look at Ginsburg. Look at Roberts. I mean, Earl Warren's a great example of someone who, as a judge in the state of California, Earl Warren from the 1950s, in the state of California, Supreme Court justice. Or the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in California, he was very conservative mm-hmm. for California in the 1950s. And then Eisenhower appoints him to the fucking Supreme Court, and he's thinking, I got my conservative Republican dude in there. And the dude turns into the most liberal Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in probably the last 100 years.
Sure.
And he's the one who oversaw Brown versus Board of Education and, you know, landmark cases. It's just so shit. How can you even trust? That shouldn't even be a factor, really.
Yeah.
Right. On, like, predicting which way he'll go on things?
Yeah, he could change in a second. I mean, look at the Civil Rights Act. I mean, you would expect, like, you know, Justice Roberts to uphold the Voting Rights Act and uphold the case, but instead they just let it go.
Right.
Right.
It's sad.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, as we record this, he hasn't taken the oath of office or anything, but yeah, pretty much looking at a new Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So.
With that pockmarked face and that wavy fucking douchebag white dude Maryland hair, seawater in it. It's such Maryland fucking hair. Sorry, I curse.
Yeah, well, you know, it can feel very defeating at this moment, but let's not allow this to change our focus. If anything, we need to redouble our efforts.
Yeah, I mean, in just a couple of weeks, and 1992 is a great example of how quickly things can change. Yeah.
So what happened in 1992?
With the elections, it was the largest, I think it was, like, at the time, there were 2%. Dianne Feinstein had a great quote where she said, I don't drink 2% milk and I don't think it's right for Congress, about how many women were in Congress at the time. Right. And more women were elected to Congress than ever in the history of the country in 1992 as a backlash to the Clarence Thomas Supreme Court hearings. And this same thing could be happening right now. We're seeing it in primaries across the country where you have women of color, you have people of color, you have minorities of all stripes. There's a bisexual candidate running for office for U.S. Senate in Arizona. There's a trans woman who could be potentially the next governor of Vermont. I mean, there are great things happening in the country. And it's like, if we just fucking get our shit together and realize that these white privileged Maryland hair douchebags are the ones running our fucking country, maybe we can actually have our voices heard if we just go and register to vote and fucking vote.
Yeah. And in some instances, you might actually have the skills to run too.
Yeah.
You know? And don't think that
a dick pic's not going to stop anyone these days.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Look at the fuck with the shit we have going on. And yeah, and it's important to think too, because I think we're sort of conditioned to think that, oh, this is what a politician looks like. I would never run for office. And now we're starting to see people sort of believe or at least understand their own power or their actual ability to affect change locally, whatever. But my God. Just getting more involved because, when you see these five old white guys explaining why they're like, yeah, I think Brett's cool.
Right.
I think that should be ringing alarm bells for people to be like, is this truly representative of what our country is and looks like?
It's not representative of my world.
Yeah.
I'm the only white dude in the room.
And I think, token white man.
And I think you've got to be frustrated, like you said, with the current state of the DNC, who it seems like they're still... I don't know. They still manage to fuck this up, like, when it comes to, like, it's like they're scared of seeming like they're being mean to the guy who's swinging a baseball bat at their head. Like,
well,
there's
such a scary backlash that could happen. I mean, I think the three of us, we've all worked in politics before, right?
I have not.
Oh, you have. Yeah. You and I have. And there's such a scary backlash that can come so quickly. And Democrats... you know, they're tepid people. They're because it's such a wide umbrella party, addressing that. I mean, Republicans have it easy in that they essentially have just white people, white, you know, older Christians, people, Christians, yeah. and that's all they have to represent.
Right.
Whereas Democrats are such a wide umbrella party that they have to represent so many people. They don't realize that, like, we as a people are actually united. We can respect differences. And, you know, you look on the internet of sort of liberal groups, and there is some unity. Yes, there's separation in certain areas with, like, Black Lives Matter's politics and, like, you know, certain gay rights politics. And there's differences. But at the end of the day, we want to see good people, minorities, get elected to Congress. And I don't know. Like Michael Bloomberg says he's exploring a run for president in 2020.
Right, as a Democrat.
As a Democrat, which on some level I'm thinking, like, you know, political parties shift over time. And the Republican Party and the Democratic Party that we have now is essentially a new party. It's only been around since the 1950s, really. Right. And I think we're at a time where we maybe need to get away. And I can't believe I'm saying this because in 2000 I was so angry about a third party. But, like, not so much having a third party, but just having more parties, more representation, more ideas out there, people talking and giving ideas, having an independent, you know, run for office. But because of the way our political system's set up, an independent can't get the financing, can't get the money. There's no primary nomination. There's nothing. They can't get on the fucking ballot because we've set up a country where it's only two parties have these powers that white dudes are running.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and a big news story is taking place all across America. Hooters is slowly dying, you guys.
Yeah, who would have thought that the place where people wear fucking 80s sexy outfits is losing its appeal. Like, Vox did this whole piece on it. And as I was reading it, they're like, what's going on? You know, is it that millennials are too woke for like a place where like hypersexualized waitresses walking around or servers walking around serving you? Is it that we're just into ass more? We're not about boobs?
Right.
Is it because the food sucks or the uniforms whack or restaurants in general over? And it seems like there's a combination of all of those things. Like, so apparently from 2012 to 2016, they had to close like around 7% of their locations.
Of Hooters, yeah,
and then they were kind of looking that against how Pornhub reported there was like a decline in boob searches for porn. Like, the breast is no longer the popular thing.
The Kardashian effect?
Who knows? And so that was, and that's what sort of Business Insider was like. And it probably has to do with like boobs just aren't in anymore.
Really?
Yeah, that's what But then so Vox, you know, they're not going to accept that. Well, yeah. they went a little bit deeper, and they're like, you know, there's a lot going wrong with that place aside from the obvious shit.
Yeah. Right.
They said, for example, you look at the Yelp reviews, a lot of people have gripes about the food. You know, they're like, oh, these wings are fucking too small. Right. Or like, the drinks
suck. Not if you ask Michael Scott of The Office. He loved Hooters.
Loved Hooters. Granted, some of the complaints were like, oh, well, you know, some of the servers weren't as well endowed as I would like, you know, your typical fucking misogynistic shit. But then they're also looking, they're like, yo, the menu is pretty whack, and you look at competitors, there are places called like Tilted Kilt and Twin Peaks, which are in this restaurant category where like Tilted Kilt is more like a short skirt, sexy aesthetic schoolgirl thing, and Twin Peaks is like outdoor sexy woman thing. They have, they're saying like their menus are more like appealing, like they're actually sort of in line with what's in fashion in terms of food. And like Twin Peaks actually has like a very fresh menu, like where everything's made from scratch. So they're saying, well, food could be an issue. And then they're all saying the uniforms also have a lot to, like, most people just, they're look at the uniforms like, this appeals to, like, old-ass baby boomers.
Yeah.
Like, this has nothing to do with, like, anything now.
Isn't it, like, pantyhose and shorts?
Yeah, tan hose, orange shorts, the white tank top, white sneakers.
Right.
And, like, you know, some, like, people who, like, work in, like, the business consulting thing, like, you know, they should try a revamp, you know, maybe even let the servers dress however they want to.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like this weird forced sexiness.
Can men work there?
Yeah. As managers or as like serve or like bus boys are in the kitchen. But I don't think they're necessarily the servers in the restaurant, or at least I've never been.
Isn't that like against the law?
I think there was a lawsuit threatened by a man who wanted to work at a Hooters as a server, and I forget where that news story went, but I think it was somewhat disingenuous that he actually wanted to
work
there.
I want my servers to be mostly clothed, because like there's nothing worse than finding a hair in your food. And if a dude had to wear that short of shorts, like pubic hair would get in there.
Your balls would be hanging out.
Your balls would be hanging out, which like, you know, that's
hot.
Yeah.
With a new restaurant called Saks. Dude, come through to Saks.
Yeah, no. I went to Hooters for prom.
Did you have your prom dinner there?
We had dinner before prom there, me and my prom date. It was fine.
I think the wings are, you know, they need to update. And also, I just feel like now it's just, oh, come on.
Because I don't like any food that, like, you have to use, like, 40 napkins for.
Oh, wow. I love interactive food. Like, crawfish, wings.
If you like, there's a place in Los Feliz with really good wings.
Which one?
It's a bar on Hillhurst. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a wingman. You know, I go to
all karaoke nights.
Yeah, they do. And the drinks are stiff. But, yeah, I think in the end, it's just, I have a feeling it's just that kind of thing has very limited appeal in general. And I think societally, we're just not like, let's go to the weird
place.
It's
the Blockbuster of foods.
Yeah. And they also point out in the article, like, Hooters tried to start an airline a few, like 10 years ago or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
They lost like $40 million on it, like instantly, like just vaporized into the wind.
Can you imagine eating wings on a plane? That's like someone bringing Chinese food on a plane.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, hot sauce. You have deep fryers going on board.
That is insane.
But it was just more like that all of the flight attendants. Attendants were dressed very scantily. And, you know, I think they were also pointing, that's probably a reason why they're so risk averse now, because they fucking bet big on an airline.
Right.
I don't know how the fuck they thought that was a good idea.
Can I say one thing? This is kind of off topic, but it's about airlines. I hate the acceptance of gay, like how gay acceptance has become so wide, because like years ago when gays were still getting discriminated against and I would fly, the gay flight attendant would be like, oh, let me get you a drink. Right. Like, it was always a thing. But now we're all so fucking equal. I don't get any drinks anymore.
That's why you got to go on and give them candy. Candy? Yo, if you give a gift to the flight attendants when you go on board.
Do you really give gifts to flight attendants?
I read about it. I did it once, and I brought like a bag of cookies or some shit. And I read in a thing.
Cookies?
Like, it was like a thing like from homemade? Flight attendants were giving you hacks. Like, they're like, this is from the way we see it. If you want the inn, yeah, this is what you need to do. It's like, they always really appreciate if you come on board and you give them something.
Wow.
And they're like, watch how many free drinks you get. Did it. I was drinking so many beers.
I had that with a button. I had a button that said, fuck 2016. And every time I flew in 2016, I always got free shit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because they were like, that's a good button.
Yeah, nice. If you can just get on their radar. Right. You know, that's all you got to do. And usually a nice gesture is the way to do it. Also, just, you know, treat the flight attendants with care.
Yeah, treat kindness. Everyone with care. Yeah. That's what we should be doing.
Because, man, people get so entitled on a fucking airplane. It is absurd.
That's why I pay the money, is so that I can treat other human like beings shit. Like garbage. Yeah. That's
why am I paying $4,000 for this?
Take one sip and then spill it.
Oh, I like beer.
I like beer.
Oh, yeah, I like Jesus. Beer. That's a real thing, though.
All right, we got time for a quick little Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
Miles. What's happening,
Jack,
on the cover of the tabloids?
Well, on the back, yo, the Charmed reboot got that is fucking everywhere. Like nine. Whoa, shit. Oh, my God. Nearly every Bloid has the Charmed full back page ad for the reboot.
Aren't they all the same publisher?
Yeah, they're the same publisher.
Yeah.
API.
API. I don't know why we talk about this every week.
I love a tabloid.
Oh, love a tabloid.
I subscribe to Tablet, you know, the magazine app.
Oh, yeah, for your iPad?
Yeah.
It's way cheaper, right? Because you get like
cheaper.
900 magazines.
Like $14 a month and I get all the magazines.
Oh, really?
Is it literally just any magazine almost?
Yeah. Yeah. Holy unlimited shit. Download. You get New Yorker, Time, People, OK, Us, all of them.
OK. Yeah. Okay. So let's
new
see.
Sponsor.
Yeah, right? Shit. One of the things that first jumped out at me was on the Globe. Obviously, they're saying Kenny Rogers dying.
He's been dying for 40 years.
He's been dying. But this one, Cher and Tom back together? Cher and Tom Cruise?
Were they together?
They were for very little. They went on like a date or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And they say in here, Cher rates Tom as the best lover she's ever had.
Well, she's half. Ooh, he's half her size.
Yeah.
Right.
So he can get up in places.
I mean, if he could turn back time. Now, yeah, it looks like, I mean, they just have a photo of them together at an event looking like friendly. But again, this is fucking the Globe.
I bet in that photo, they're like, remember when you ate me out?
Yeah.
He's like, it was the only time I've ever done that.
Yeah. He's like, I'm still, that's why I joined Scientology.
You were my last non-Scientologist.
So yeah, that was just a fun idea. I had no idea that Cher and Tom Cruise were together.
I know.
Yeah. I ship them now, knowing this.
Hell yeah.
And then you just have kind of your run-of-the-mill shit. Who is it? In Touch is really going all in on this. They're out here saying
Brad and Jen, baby fucking
announcement.
Yeah.
Baby we have yet to. I'm sorry, baby announcement.
Oh, okay.
How is she still? I mean, I like Jennifer Aniston, but what has she done to be on the cover of magazines?
Sold a bunch of magazines in the 90s.
We have a theory, that this must have been this combination of faces of Brad and Jen just was an instant cop for people in line for a tabloid. Right.
They are sort of like that perfect white American looking Nordic shit.
Although, who was fucking tweeting? Maybe it was Naomi Ekperigin or something. They're saying, I've been rewatching Friends reruns and things like that. And they're like, Rachel Green is definitely the type of white woman to call the police on a little girl selling lemonade outside her building. Which makes sense.
So true.
But yeah. And inside, they're just, it's all just people saying whatever a source says. And they're getting away with this.
My housekeeper's friend's sister's brother said.
Yeah.
Right.
But I still don't understand. Like, this is just so clearly not a real thing.
Yeah.
But every week.
Oh, but it's fun. You don't understand. It's so fun.
But it would be the same thing about them being like Obama and FKA Twigs.
And I would read that some too.
Shit. But you're like, that shit ain't happening.
I mean, it's when you know it's fake, but it also just makes you feel good. It's like putting on that nail polish that like you know you can't get away with, but it just makes you feel so good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys probably don't really.
Well,
do
no,
that.
You know, the hard candy I remember came with a free ring.
Yeah, right.
That's all I remember. Yeah. And I used to buy that.
The one had the Katie and Nicole Tom Cruise thing. Tell
this
all.
One? Oh, yeah.
The
how they're
new
like
war with
controlling.
Tom.
And again, it's just like two people who they're like, they're sick of Scientology meddling in their lives and they're gonna fight back in a way we don't know yet.
I wonder how much Scientology impacted those two divorces. It had to be huge.
All the documentaries you see with the people who have left the church, like there is that one dude. I forget what his name is, but he was like David Miscavige's right hand who left.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I had to break Nicole Kidman up, with Tom Cruise. And then I was also in charge of finding Tom's new beard or pretend wife or whatever you want to call Katie or Nicole.
I don't think he's gay. I think John Travolta is, but I don't think he is.
Oh, John Travolta.
What do you think Tom Cruise is? Why do you think he's in Scientology? What do you think is?
Well, I think he's just like half the people in LA because they get into like, even like the straight dudes I was talking about earlier who want to like identify as queer but actually have never touched a dick. It's like they just want to like, they need it for their identity. It's like it's a because they don't have a personality outside of it.
So
they
like, have I'm a Scientologist.
Yeah, he has to seek and they validate him and they know that they can benefit off of him. So he's like, great, I get a personality and you guys get good stuff.
Yeah, and he gets to be Scientology Jesus 2.0. Yeah. After
I mean, he literally gets to be Jesus. He's basically Scientology
Jesus. Well, yeah, because once Miscavige goes, it'll be Tom. And then they're saying after Tom, it'll be his son Connor, who we talked about.
I wonder if his career will just drop off, like movie-wise, once he becomes the head of Scientology, because he'll be so busy. Because like right now, he's like the hardest working person, like movie star.
Because he's trying to have that second comeback. Like he's waiting for that next Oscar nomination.
Right.
Yeah. The problem is you have to go away for a little bit to have a comeback, rather than just be like, I got a movie coming out every 18 months, basically every year. So I mean, my advice to you, Tom, just fall back for a little bit. And then maybe you'll get that Oscar.
Yeah.
And then, other than that, it's just a lot of, you know, they're just coming at Angelina Jolie's 73 pounds, pin thin legs.
Right.
Okay, maybe her pants are baggy.
But she eats a lot of McDonald's. At least she gets photographed eating McDonald's.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, it's weird. The covers always, like, only show the worst angle with something being like, she's on her fucking deathbed.
Yeah, of course.
Type shit. Because they love a cover.
No, I see her in the drive. I mean, I don't see her, but I see tabloid pictures of her in the drive thru all the time.
And then now they're saying, Bill Cosby in jail, other convicts are throwing stale hot dog buns at him. He thinks he's going to get poisoned.
That would not hurt.
He won't shower. Yeah, that's what's there's so some weird.
Like a hot dog would hurt more.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it would make a great like sequel to that one gif. Of that woman with the hot dogs flying on her face. Exactly. But with Bill Cosby just throwing.
Yeah, and that's about that. Well,
H. Allen, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
Everywhere at H. Allen Scott. And then there's a new movie coming out that I'm a documentary subject of called Latter-day Jew. It's about I converted from Mormonism to Judaism. And yeah.
Nice.
Hey, look at that.
Well, coming out soon.
And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
It's not a recent tweet, but when I heard this, it's literally the first thing I thought of, and it always fucking makes me laugh. Whoever created the account of Stevie Wonder on Twitter.
Oh, it's just gibberish.
It's like the best thing. It's so mean, but it's so good. I Google image it just to like make myself feel happy.
Right.
It's just gibberish.
It's just so good. It's just little, this is gibberish.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah, because it looks like someone's just mashing a keyboard with an open hand. It's like, it's like JKL977 at collection.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like, it actually came from a listener, Nick Ugalde One, Stringy Magoo. We were talking last week about how we're sticklers for grammar. And I was like, yes, I'm kind of a grammar Nazi. And he said, you guys were saying you were grammar Nazis, and I'm with you, but you should identify as alt-right, W-R-I-T-E. Don't worry, we'll all know what you mean. And I was like,
pretty good.
Well played, my man, for that clever pun. And just for good measure, one reductress tweet that says, is four Halloween costumes that'll make him say, oh, cool, yeah, I haven't seen that show. it's like Darcy Carden in The Good Place and then Marvelous Miss Maisel as pictures.
A tweet I've been enjoying, Matt Ford was quoting a Swedish news source that said, 8-year-old Swedish girl pulls Viking-era sword from lake. And Matt Ford, quote, we have a ninth justice, which would be a better way of determining that.
Swedish girl, justice, Swedish girl.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Also, check out Culture Kings 3 days a week starting last week. Yeah. So that 3 great episodes every single week for you. Bechdel Cast is doing scary movies for Halloween. You got your Carries, your Screams, your Halloweens. EA has just had an incredible run of guests lately and just an incredible run of episodes. So check out Ethnically Ambiguous, you guys. And
also Chicago. If you're in Chicago, December 1st, we have a live show.
Come see us. Come experience the Daily Zeitgeist in the flesh. And maybe you will be in the third seat. And maybe you will give an over, under, and myth. Maybe. But you got to buy a ticket and find out. But please do that.
And Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
Yes, I was going through just old beats that I liked from back in the day, and I realized there was an artist that I really liked called 6-2, S-I-X-T-O-O. And this track is called Box Cutter Emporium Part 3. It's just got a good sample in there, and just from all my head nod beat fans out there, a little vibe to start off your week.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.